Michael Wynn joins us from Llewellyn Realtors as a COO. He oversees both the operations and the sales force. So you're going to hear a perspective that I think those in the field or those in the back office can both appreciate, and all of us as we're wrestling with how to trust God, what does that look like when times are tough? I'm sure we're going to derive much encouragement. So, Michael, if you would please come up, and let's greet Michael Wynn with a warm welcome.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you guys. I was excited when Mark asked me if I wanted to speak here in this venue, and I said I would love to, and I particularly love this topic because it's been so meaningful to me over the years. And as I mentioned, I am the Chief Operating Officer at Llewellyn. I've been there in that position for the last couple of years. About 11 years ago, I was recruited to Llewellyn by Charlie, who actually attends CLC as well. And that in itself was an amazing provision of my life. At the time, I was just really praying about needing a man in my life, a coach, a mentor, somebody that could just come alongside me. I didn't have that person. I really hadn't had that person. And I was just desiring that so much. And I remember when Charlie called me, he had called me over the years, and I kind of ignored him because, you know, brokers call the top agents in the area constantly, and they're trying to recruit you. And when he called me, for some reason that time, I decided to meet with him. And we had lunch. And there was an immediate connection. And he didn't know it, but I knew it. The minute that lunch was over, I knew that that was a person that God had brought for me into my life. So I met with him the next time, and I said, Charlie, I said, my practice is going well. I said, honestly, I don't want to talk to you about business at all. And I said, I hear you guys do these strange things like apple butter, and you give out different things. And I said, really, I'm not interested in that. And I said, but I'm interested in getting to know you. I said, if I keep my production up, would you just promise to leave me alone? And I just want to get together and talk to you about the things of God. And he said, I would love to do that. And we became fast friends, and we would get together once a week and just talk about God and what he was doing in our lives. And so God knows what we need. He knew what I needed, and he brought me to Llewellyn Realtors. So I was a sales associate there for a couple of years, and then I went into part-time management, later into director of sales. And then from director of sales, I recently took the COO position. So we're just trying to kind of work Charlie out of the company. But and that in itself is another just example of God's provision. I'm going to talk about that later. So prior to coming to Llewellyn, I got into real estate about 23 years straight out of college. And I was a sales associate at various companies in this area. I've owned my own company. I've managed for large and small companies. I've been fairly involved in investing and land sales and land development, commercial sales. So I've kind of done the whole gamut in the real estate industry. It's been a full and exciting career, and God has just been very good to me. So Mark just asked me to share quickly a personal testimony. I was very fortunate. You know, I got to see God's provision at an earlier age than most people. And that's because I was adopted. When you're adopted, you're keenly aware of God's provision, because if you're not adopted, you get to grow up in a home. But when you're adopted, you don't have that opportunity unless God provides. And he provided wonderful parents who adopted my twin sister and I when we were babies from Taiwan. And so that's just been a great source of encouragement and just gratefulness for what God did for us to bring us to this country. And so we grew up in a Christian home. It had dysfunction just like any other home. It wasn't a perfect place. But we did have parents that loved the Lord. And in particular, my mom had a deep love for the Lord. And she just outworked just the very nature of Christ in terms of loving people and serving and just caring for others. So she was a wonderful example to us. And so we grew up in the church. We became a Christian at a very early age. I remember accepting Christ when I was 6. And I remember the pastor wanting to come to our house. And he said he wasn't sure at my age that we could understand the gospel. And I remember him drilling me for an hour. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy really is serious. And as he went through and just asked questions, I remember being able to put his mind at ease that we did understand the gospel message. And so I accepted Christ at a very early age. I was very fortunate to grow up in the church, and we've been serving in the church ever since. So we've had wonderful opportunities. We serve today in many areas as a family here at CLC. And that really is what we consider to be our main job. It really is a joy to serve and to be in ministry, and that's really where our heart is and where my heart is. This morning I'm going to talk about trusting God in difficult situations. And I'm taking a little bit of a different approach because I'm breaking it down into three areas, and that's our work, our time, and our finances. And I just want you to know that I've learned a lot in these areas the hard way. And so whatever I share with you, it's because I'm a very flawed man, and I'm a work in progress. And I was one of those that was very hard-headed and could not learn by watching others. I had to learn by doing it the wrong way and course-correcting. But I thank God that His mercy has been very real to me and that He has provided, and His provision has been there consistently throughout the process. And I think when we think of provision, we often think of money, but I'm breaking it down these topics because I think provision is so much more than money. It's just all the various needs that we need. And many times they're much greater than money. So we're going to talk about hopefully these three areas as quickly as we can. As Christians, our work is very important to us. It's an area that it's hard not to draw our identity from. And I know that over the years, it's something that I've had to wrestle with to keep work in its proper perspective. And consequently, it's an area that it's very easy for the devil to subtly ensnare us. It's very easy for him to come in and just take over and for our work lives to become out of balance. Work is, like our home life, is an excellent area that becomes a proving ground for us to see how will we outwork our faith and how will we outwork the things of God. And so I went into real estate straight out of college as an independent contractor. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have any money, and I had very little direction. So I was faced very quickly with this whole idea of work. How does God provide through our jobs? How does He provide for us? And how do we outwork our faith in the workplace? And for me, it came down to five key questions that I had to wrestle with. And they became questions that became life lessons for me. And that's what I'm going to just talk about here for a few minutes. I think the very first thing that I realized with my job was, did I really believe the Word of God and trust His sovereignty? You know, we hear all the right phrases. We can repeat them and we can say them. But as I was faced with being self-employed, I had to really wrestle with, did I believe what the Word of God said about provision? Did I believe that He would provide the way that He said He would? And what would that look like? And I think I remember a verse, Philippians 2:14-16 says, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. For me, I didn't want to spend my life laboring in vain. I wanted to spend my life for the Lord, and I knew that I was going to spend a lot of time at work, and I wanted to make sure that I was using that work wisely. So I had to get to the point of understanding that my work did matter to God, and that where He had me was important. And then I had to figure out how I was going to use that and leverage it for the Lord. One of the challenges when you're an independent contractor is that you don't get a paycheck. And you're not sure when you're going to get paid, but you know that if you trust God's word, that you will be paid eventually. And so I had to decide, was I willing to believe these truths as foundational principles, and could I build a practice on them? You know, and what was very helpful to me was the parable of the sower, and just understanding that I would reap what I sowed, that if I trusted God, that I would eventually be rewarded, but I didn't know when. And that was a huge thing for me. I remember being an agent early on and just struggling with being able to trust God for production and wondering when it would come. And just remember that feeling of not having a paycheck and just remembering, God, I just don't feel like I'm making it. I can hardly pay my bills. You know, how is this going to work? And it almost consumed me. And then God in His mercy really delivered me from that and helped me to understand that I just needed to trust Him. And so I turned the corner on worrying about how much business I was doing, what my volume was for the year, how many transactions I was doing. And I began just to focus on doing the right activities, because the principles in the Bible work. And I decided if I could do the right activities, I would just trust God for the rest. And so I started just to focus on doing those activities that were biblically based, you know, working hard, being diligent, doing the things that I needed to do, seeking counsel, and outworking those. And it was amazing. At the end of the year, I couldn't tell you what my production was, but it was there. And it was there then year after year after year after year. And I really never had a year where I did less than the year before. But really that was God's mercy. But the beautiful part about that was not the production. It was the peace of which I could go and be in a self-employed business and be able to enjoy it and just trust God. And And I'm not here to say for a minute that God is going to give us everything that we want in terms of our production. You know, I don't want to give that message. He will give us what we need. And that's what I learned very clearly. So I was able to switch from a transactional business and more to focusing on the right activities. And I learned that if I would just serve and care for people, that I would be just fine. You know, God wants us to take care of His people. He wants us to love on each other. And when I began to focus on that and not worrying about commissions, not worrying about how much I was going to make, and just doing the right things, caring for people one transaction after the next, it was amazing how there was always a next transaction. And after 23 years, I can tell you, never until now working for Charlie, never having a paycheck, you know, it's an interesting way to go through life and build a practice being self-employed. But it really is a wonderful opportunity. We often laugh, some of the agents and I say that being an agent is just excellent way to be sanctified, because you have to trust God every day. Because as you sell homes and they settle, you become unemployed and you have to go out and look for the next transaction. And it's not an easy way to live, but it's a wonderful way to just grow in your trust in the Lord. The next area for me was just wrestling with, was I called to be an agent? Was that the right area for me? Was that where God wanted me? And of course, you go through those questions in your job many times throughout your career, but a couple things came to mind, and one of them was, about 5 years into my time at Llewellyn, you know, Charlie Llewellyn came to me and he asked me to be a part-time manager, and I accepted. And a couple years after that, I was enjoying that position, but it was hard to do both part-time and sales. And so I told Charlie, I said, listen, I'm thinking about either going into ministry, maybe going to the mission field. At the time, I was leading mission teams for our previous church into the mission field doing construction projects. And I was really enjoying that. And I was wrestling with what do I need to do here, Lord? And Charlie challenged me, said, you know, Michael, if God calls you into ministry, I will be the first guy to get behind you and support you. But until He calls you, He said, will you do this for me? He goes, I'm going to challenge you. He said, will you be faithful in little? He said, God's given you all these men here in our office that need to be cared for. And He said, would you be faithful to care for them until He calls you somewhere else? And that was a tremendous challenge to me. Because, you know, if you're thinking about ministry, if you're thinking about making changes, you at times you have these ideas, some of them are grandiose. But God knew what I needed, and He knew I needed to be challenged to be faithful in little. And so once again, He showed up in the workplace, and He challenged me to be faithful in little. And so that was just a wonderful opportunity to do that. And then He challenged me to say, you know, Michael, how are you going to use your work? Because you're there every day. You know, are you willing to be at risk? Are you willing to let your light shine before men, as it talks about in Matthew? You know, are you willing to say things and do things that are contrary to the world, even in the workplace? Are you willing to be at risk? And many of us talk about doing things in the workplace, but we don't want to be at risk. And the truth is, if we want to bring God into the workplace, it's risky. And it's not easy. And there's times that we run the risk of offending people. There's times that we run the risk of possibly losing our job or being fired by a client. And in our company, we have tried to be at risk. We have tried to be a light in the marketplace. And I took that personal challenge as well throughout my entire career to say, would I be a light in the marketplace? So God really helped me understand, am I called? If I am called, am I willing to be bold for the Lord while I'm doing this job? And the final thing was just answering the question of, where is my identity? You know, we talk about provision and we talk about trusting God, but it's awful hard to trust God if our identity isn't in Him. You know, if our security and our identity is not in the Lord, then it becomes very hard to even talk about trusting God. And so for me, I quickly learned that I had to understand, where was my identity? Was it in Christ, or was it in my job? Was it in my production, or was it in the things of the Lord? So those were just five great lessons that I had to wrestle with as I thought about provision. And it may not be what you expected, but there are areas that if you look into, as you study the scriptures, I think you'll see just the tremendous value that they have in terms of our working lives. The other big area for me was my time. As a self-employed person in real estate, it basically feels like a 24/7 job. And if you all, I'm sure as you've bought and sold homes, you know that you want to be able to reach your agent basically whenever you want to reach him. And that could be early in the morning, late at night. And, you know, buying a house is an exciting thing. It's emotional. It's stressful. And we know that our clients need to be able to get a hold of us, and we appreciate that. But it's also a business that can absolutely consume you. and you can end up working 7 days a week. And when you're working and you're getting no results, it can really consume you because you feel like you need to work even more. And very early on, and this is just God's mercy, very early on, I had people speak to my life and say, you can do this job if you trust God more in a 9-to-5 fashion. And I said, 9-to-5? I don't know anybody doing 9-to-5. And so I'm one of those guys that I don't mind being out in the front. I don't mind being the pioneer, but I don't want to take the arrow in the back. So I went around asking people, I said, you know, do you know anybody that's done 9-to-5 and made it in real estate? And I found a couple that I actually had. And it turns out they were people that absolutely loved the Lord and trusted Him. And they were just great testimonies. So they share with me how they were able to do that. So very early in my career, I decided that I was going to do the best of my ability to work 9-to-5. Now, obviously there are exceptions to that, and it didn't always work that neatly, Monday, Friday, 9-to-5. But what it did work out to be is, you know, five and a half days working 8 hours. And then sometimes I had to shift time around. But for the most part, I didn't have to work too many evenings or weekends. And that was a real blessing, but that was a test for me to say, would I trust God to provide in that time frame? In our industry, just so you know, that's absolutely unheard of. And as a matter of fact, when I tell my agents this, they still don't really believe me, I think. And I have a class that I teach of how do you build a business that you can live with. And I learned that you could do this, that you could work regular hours, that you could honor God, honor your family, and still make a living in a business that everyone else, literally everyone, I've met only, in my entire career, I've only met a handful of people that do it this way. Yet it can be done. And that's God. That's what God can do. You know, so, but the main thing that drove me in this direction was the desire to spend my time for the Lord. And that's what I want to key in this section about our time. It's so easy for us to get caught up in our jobs where it consumes our lives and where we spend our time for things that are very good, things that provide for our family, things that fulfill us in many ways, which is all good. But there's that line where it's very easy to cross, where we spend too much time doing those things and not enough time on the things that are really important, the things that count for eternity. And for me, I didn't want to look back and have regrets that I spent too much time in the workplace doing things that just provided instead of things that really mattered. And I had to come up with just a way to put my family first, a way to put the Lord first. And how I did that was to volunteer and to sign up for areas of ministry, to plan time with my family first, then my job came second. And that's very hard to do, especially when you're self-employed and you're not making enough money. It's very hard to say yes to your family, yes to God, yes to serving, when you're not even sure where your next paycheck is coming in. But you know what? You have to start somewhere to do that. And for me, I decided to start early. I knew that if I did it the other way, it would be way too hard to go back and try to then do those things. So I just want to encourage you, whatever you're doing in your job, just to constantly ask yourself, are you spending your time in the right places? Are you leaving work at a decent time? Are you making your family a priority? You know, I'm sure you've heard just the story of the rocking chair test. But you picture yourself sitting in that rocking chair on the front porch looking over the beautiful scene and asking yourself your question, how would I spend my life differently? And I just want to encourage you not to have to sit there and think, gosh, I wish I would have got out of the office earlier. I wish I would have spent time in the things of the Lord that really matter for eternity and not spent time doing one more transaction, you know, building one more business, you know, doing one more deal. It's very easy to get in the trap. The devil knows that. He knows that for us as workers that it's very easy for us to get pulled off that straight and narrow path. And so I just want to encourage you that to really evaluate and look at that, because I know that's a challenge for most people. And for me, when it became really fun is when the things were the toughest, when the business was going the worst, is to then say, what's another area that I can serve God in? What's another area that I can give money away in? You know, it's easy to give in times of prosperity. It's much easier, I mean, much harder to do it when times are difficult. But listen, if you're always giving when things are easy, where is the test of faithfulness? You know, and to me, it's so much more exciting if you're doing it during the difficult times. Because as you do that and your faith grows, then it becomes much easier to trust God for provision. When you're giving away your life and your time and your money during those challenging times, and you get to see God show himself faithful, it's just a tremendous way to build your faith. Tremendous. I just want to encourage you in that. And then asking just, where will God fit into my work life? Where will God fit into my life at all? I often talk to dads that, you know, they're so busy at work, they're so busy doing the things that they believe to be so important, but they're not spending time with their kids. You know, they're not spending time in serving in the church. They're not spending time investing in others. So I just want to encourage you in that area that if that's you, really just take some time, seek counsel, really evaluate and look at how are you using your life for God? How are you using your life for your family? And I know that we're blessed to have a church of many wonderful families that are doing these things well. And that's the good news. I think perhaps the hardest area is our finances. It's probably the greatest challenge. It's a topic that is talked about more in the Bible than any other topic. And I think that should tell us something right there, that God knew that money would be a big issue. So he talked about money a lot. I know that there's been many wrong doctrines over the years that have just propagated prosperity and just over the ages have taught the wrong things. So I know that that's a challenge for many people. I know that sadly many men and women have walked away from their faith because during times of difficult financial challenge, they didn't get what they believed they needed, and they felt like God wasn't there, and they decided to throw in the towel. They decided that God wasn't as real as they thought they were, that they thought, because he didn't give them what they expected. And so, in our area of our finances, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the church. We need each other. We need the wise counsel of our friends and family just to guide us through this area so that we can be successful. Probably the area of the Bible that has ministered to me most in this is just in Matthew 6:24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You really can't serve two masters. Many people have tried, but it's very, very difficult, if not impossible. And why? Because God's word tells us so, that we cannot serve two masters. But yet, it's interesting how, as workers, we try to do that over and over again. And we forget the priority and the place that God has in our work and in our lives. And so it's easy to begin to make our work and money an idol. It's easy to for that to subtly happen. You know, as Paul Tripp taught us, that our idols, our hearts are idol factories. It just happens very quickly, very subtly. And so for me, I had to really understand that you can't serve two masters. And this point got driven home to me early on in a very painful way. My first year in the business, actually let me back up even before that, we grew up in a lower middle class home, at times maybe even lower than that. So it was not easy. My dad had to work two or three jobs, and a lot like many people. And so it was a difficult time, and so we didn't get to do a lot of things growing up. But for us, that was our world. It didn't really seem so bad until we got older and realized what we had missed out on, at least thought we had missed out on. My first year in the business, I had a very good year. And the next couple years thereafter, I had very good years for a new agent. I was Rookie of the Year for Montgomery County my first year, and God was very good to me. And I knew lots of people, and my business was going well. But for me, it was probably a little too well. And I enjoyed myself. I bought lots of stuff. And I bought boats and cars and did all kinds of things that foolish young men do. And then I started a business with no reserves because I was prideful enough to believe that I could do it with no money in the bank, that I could build a business on a shoestring, and that I could do what others couldn't do. And so I got into a lot of debt, hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. And for me, it took 8 years to get out of debt, 8 years of my life spent paying back everyone. And thankfully, through the whole process, I knew that I wanted to pay back the people that I owed. I knew that I wanted to do the right thing. I knew that I wanted to, you know, correct the mistakes that I made. But it was still a very difficult time. And I would not wish that on anyone to have to spend 8 years of their life just paying other people back. So even though I was doing very well, as the money came in, it went out. As it came in, I just handed it to someone else. And I tell you that story because that really was the beginning of God getting a hold of me and teaching me some lessons about provision. And it's interesting how having all those things, it really never did satisfy. You know, and that's the problem with stuff. It never does satisfy. And for me, it was never about materialism as much. And I learned this, and this is a challenge to all of us, that we have to figure out what is it that is our tendencies. What is it that draws us to make the wrong decisions? For us, it was collecting memories. You know, I was spending money on taking them. We have a big family. When we're together, it's 30 or 40 people. And I was taking everyone to the theater. You know, I was taking everyone here and taking them there. And I was paying for everything. And because I wanted memories. I wanted the memories that we didn't have. I wanted to create things that we didn't have growing up. You know, we bought a boat so we could all go out together on it. You know, we did things like that. And in itself, those are not bad things. But the problem is for me that they had replaced and they become an idol. And I didn't even realize it till I spent time with people that cared about me and digging in and finding out, you know, why was I on such a crazy path to spend this kind of money and get into a position where I was just owned by the things that I had purchased. You know, it's a terrible feeling when you wake up one day and realize that everything that you have owns you. That you're coming to work just to pay for stuff. And then you have to figure out, how do I get out of that? Well, I got out of it, but it took 8 years. So I hope that you don't go that direction. But it taught me that you really can't serve two masters. That you're either going to love one and hate the other. And I began to hate just the position that I was in. But through it all, God taught me some valuable lessons. And I would say if you're in that position where finances have not gone the way that you expected, that I would just encourage you to concentrate. What is God trying to teach you? Because so many times we want to get out of the pain. We want to get away from where we're at. And yet, the best place that we can be is right where God has us. You know, a lot of us, and I should speak for myself, I'm the hard-headed type, as I said earlier, that I couldn't learn that lesson by somebody just telling me. If somebody said to me, hey, young man, you don't want to do this because it'll get you into this, I probably would have not listened. Because I would have been so prideful to believe that I could be the guy that's different. I could manage it different. I could do it better. You know. And so I hope that for you all, if you're in that situation, that before you run out of it too quickly, that you'll wait on the Lord and ask Him, God, what are you trying to teach me? Because that's the power in our lessons that God gives us. He also taught me out of that to hold it loosely, to lay up my treasures in heaven. You know, we hear that verse all the time, but when you think about what that really means, you know, do we hold it loosely? You know, if God were to take us from our good jobs to our tough places, from our tough places to prosperity, which sometimes is even a greater test, as He moves us around in life, up and down the scale, you know, are we holding it loosely? Are we prepared for the next step that God has for us? And for me, prosperity was a test. And I just thank God so much that He helped us get out of that situation that I described. And He allowed us to move on and to be able to, you know, course correct and make different decisions for the future. But through all that, we learned to hold it loosely. And it's been a wonderful principle because I've been able to teach my kids from an early age, are you able to hold it loosely? You know, and that we wonder, what does that topic mean? We spend time in our family talking about what that means. We talk about laying our treasures up in heaven. We had to learn to know where our security comes from. We had to be prepared for just the challenge of wondering where the next paycheck came from. And so all these lessons just in our area of finances just serve to help me to grow and to understand that really God is the source of our provision. And I love what Lauren Cunningham, he is the director of YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. He built it to the largest mission organization in the world. And he says, once you learn to live the extraordinary life, trusting in God, you never want to go back and live the ordinary. Dare to live on the edge. And he's talking about trusting God for our finances. That once we learn to live the extraordinary life, you never want to go back to the ordinary. So I just want to encourage you in your area of finances that if you are not where you want to be, if you're going through difficult times, that you trust God and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? You know, what are you trying to help me learn in this situation? And then to seek counsel and to remember that there is a sacred trust that exists between God and us in terms of provision. So wait on God. While you're waiting, you know, just meditate on Psalms 37. I mean, I just want to read to you real quick. Mark's giving me the signal here that it says, fret not, trust, delight, rest, wait on the Lord. And it says, if we do that, here's the amazing promises. I just want to read these to you because if we really believe God's word, then we need to believe these promises. We need to believe that they're going to make a difference in our life. It said, he'll give us the desires of our heart. He'll sustain us and provide for our needs. We will inherit the land. Our descendants will be taken care of. He will bring out our righteousness. He will judge the wicked for us, and we will be preserved. Our mouths will utter wisdom and speak justice. Our children will be a blessing. He will establish our steps. He will be a refuge and stronghold. He will deliver us. He will be our strength, our salvation, and our help. So I'll just leave you with this thought is, do you believe the word of God? Do you believe the word of God that it's sufficient for meeting your needs and providing for you? I'll just close with this. I was thinking on the way over here, you know, a simple song that we were all taught when we were children, but I haven't heard in a long time, and it's Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. And I just ask you, do you remember that Jesus loves you and that he gave you the Word of God for a reason? That, and in the Word of God is everything that we need to provide for our needs.